Let's take this opportunity to bow in prayer. Father, help us to pay attention. Help us to pay attention to what you did. Help us not to get caught up in human traditions that bury the truth. Help us to see what really happened. Help us to understand where the joy came from. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Those that might be listening on the radio, we'll use, I think, five passages here if I have them written down right. We'll use Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Then we'll go to Luke chapter 2, verse 4. We'll spend a little time in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7. Then John 19, 26 and 27. And we'll conclude with Matthew 28, verses 5 through 6. The pain was unbelievable. It is hard for me to even begin to describe what it is like because I've never experienced it. Nothing like this. Oh, the pain, the difficulty, the unbelievable waves that come with the pain that comes at this point in time. It was more than she could ever have imagined. It was pain that just came and then intensified. It was pain that never went away. It was pain that you could not escape from. And the pain grew worse and worse and worse and worse and then would diminish some for a while. But you sat there with the dread that that pain was going to come back. And the pain would come and your mind would scream with the pain that was there. Something happens sometimes when we find ourselves in pain that is hard to imagine, hard to deal with. And our mind will actually slip for a second or two for us and we will be able to drift away. And I imagine that she drifted. And perhaps she found herself remembering what had happened. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth. It's where she lived. To a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, a man that she cared for very much. He was of the house of David, high pedigree. The virgin's name was Mary, as her. And he came to her and he said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." And for that moment of thought, perhaps she drifted away into what bliss that must have been when God himself, through his angel, delivered those words. But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting that might be. And it was in the bliss of that pondering for that moment that perhaps that intense feeling was gone. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you will name him Jesus." And maybe, perhaps for a moment, just that thought helped her to go, "Oh." But the pain and reality returned to her life. And it became then a struggle just to breathe. Just to breathe. In those moments of such intense pain, the ability to fill your lungs with air just seemed impossible. How can you even take in air and oxygen at this moment? The intense pain is so hard that just the motion of taking your lungs and moving them to allow the air to come in is impossible. It cannot be done. And that struggle was there. And perhaps God grants to her this moment when she reflects back on her love, the man she was betrothed to, who put her on a donkey, on a ride when she was so big and pregnant. And they went to a little town. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house in the family of God. Perhaps she thought about the hassle of getting there. No place for them to stay. No inn. So miserable because of that baby inside. Pregnant beyond pregnant. And no place to stay. And they end up, you know, in that hollowed out spot perhaps where animals were. And then when he was in that famous spot that we sing about. And maybe for a moment, just for a moment, air was able to come. But the pain returned. And the inability to find oxygen was just so much the driving force. And then she looked up. And her eyes cleared from the tears that were streaming down and off her face. From the horrible grief, from the feeling of despair, from the inability to grasp what was really taking place, what she was really involved with, what she was really witnessing and seeing. And then for that moment, as her eyes cleared, she looked up and there was her boy, covered in blood and muck. And in that moment of shock, perhaps her mind drifted back to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he didn't open his mouth. Like a lamb that's led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And then the stunning shock of what was taking place to her baby, who was no longer a child, but naked and bloodied and beaten with a cruel crown of thorns driven into his skull, with blood flowing from his face, with the wounds obvious from his backside from the beating that had taken place. And then it starts again. Because he can't breathe. Because the cross itself forces you to a position where the only way you can find oxygen is to push on the wounds they have made, onto the nails in his hands, onto his feet that are bound by a nail to that rugged cross. And the only way that son of yours can find air is to push up. And when he does, the pain comes in waves of misery. And this mama looks up at this cross, seeing her son, and she is overwhelmed by what is happening. How can this be? At that moment, Jesus looks down from the cross. John 19. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and his disciple standing by him whom he loved, we know this is John, he said unto his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then saith he to the brother, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Her husband was dead, we think. She was lost. No one to care for her. And her son on that cross knew. And his love for her was so intense and so real in the midst of the waves of pain and the need to breathe and the beating that he had maintained and sustained and the horrible abuse that human beings had laid upon his shoulder, carrying sin upon himself for us. He looks down from that cross and sees his mama. And says, you take care of her. You take care of her. Best guess is that Mary stumbled away from that scene on that hill from that horrible place and was trapped by the holiday that had brought us to the cross. And then stacked on top of that was the Sabbath, which prevented her from even taking his body and loving it like a mama would do. So it was on the third day that she rounds up some friends and she heads for the tomb to care for her baby, now dead, now gone. Matthew 28, beginning verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. Mama is desperate because her boy has been stolen, has been taken from her. Not only his life has been taken from her, but she goes there to take care of what's left of that mangled, beaten body, and someone stole it. Imagine how she felt at this moment. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Mama looks in, and Jesus is risen. A lot of the world right now is focused on a baby in a manger, on wise men who come, on angels who announce peace on earth, goodwill to men. Songs are sung everywhere of what has happened because this baby has come into the world. And I do not in any way take anything away from the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. John was born. So were Bessie. And I even dare say Jack Ritter was born at some point in time. The birth of a baby is just that, a birth of a baby. That is not what makes Jesus unique. Granted, he is born of a virgin. The Mary that we have presupposed how she felt, and she stood there at the cross looking up at her crucified son. It is not the fact that Jesus died on the cross. There are two boys right there, left and right. There will be many who will die at the hands of the Romans being crucified for all kinds of crimes. That is not what is important. What is important is he is risen. John will end up in a grave somewhere unless Jesus comes back. Even Daniel, as stout as he is back there, will someday find himself into a grave. And you'll be able to go find it as I find hers, Christina's. And I stand there and I weep and I'm torn apart by those emotions. And Mary came to this tomb to do that very thing. to grieve over her lost son. And the angel stands there and looks at her in the eye, just as he looks at Nancy and Nancy right now. And he says to them, you won't find him here. He is risen. And our reason for rejoicing and being glad isn't about his birth. It is about his resurrection. It is the fact that death could not hold him. Satan did not win. And the reason there is peace on earth and goodwill to men announced by those angels to those shepherds in the field is because they knew Jesus would die, be buried, and on the third day, hallelujah, he would rise. Jesus, our Lord and Master, is in heaven where we will go if we do as he did, born again by the water and the Spirit, being buried with him in a death like his, in the watery grave of baptism, being resurrected from that death, new creature, clean, purified, made right and holy, not by our deeds, but by the deeds of the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the Lamb, led to the slaughter. And resurrected from that death, we walk in new life, pure and holy. And because we are, God comes home and lives with us, his Spirit in us, to the day we die. And then we get to go home to be with Jesus and our Daddy, God himself. Indeed, it is joy to the world.